Hello and welcome to Solid Steps Radio. My name is Chad Russell, and that is Kurt Souter, and he is the head honcho at Further Still Ministries, and we've been doing this show called Solid Steps Radio now for coming up on 10 years, and our original goal was to say, let's do a show that is geared towards men, and that we want to say, hey guys, there's more to life than sports, weather, and politics. It's okay to talk about those things. It's okay to enjoy those things. It's okay to be involved in those things. But there is more to life than those things. And we wanted to be just a tool in the toolbox to say, hey, men, the most important thing about you is, are you walking with the man, the greatest man ever? His name is Jesus Christ. And are you walking with him? Solid Steps. That's the name, right? So we cover a wide range of topics. And today we are going to be talking about something that is really gets you thinking, gets your mind thinking, which is what we want to do, to be thinking people. And if you were to say, hey, what was one of the characteristics of Jesus? If you just look at him from a how he handled people, he was arguably the greatest question asker ever.
No doubt.
There's some great, you look through how many question marks you see in the red. How many? There's been people who've counted them better than me.
Yeah, my buddy Eric Schonsberg says 300, a little over 300.
And so
that Jesus questions that Jesus asked.
Right. So we're going to talk today about a series of questions, and it's a really great topic. And we got a good friend of our show back on, and we're looking forward to hearing about maybe some of the questions that may be bouncing around in your own head that you may not even know that you're asking.
So, Chad, I'm so glad to have our guest back because you and me, we get a free counseling session today.
Ain't nothing free in life, but you're right.
I was with a bunch of guys, just had lunch, and I said, "Oh, guys, I'm gonna go talk with Tony Gore and gonna get a free counseling session today." So, Tony, we have high expectations.
Oh boy,
Tony Gore, it is great to have you back.
Yeah, good to be with you guys. I always enjoy just spending time with you guys.
It's always a joy, and we know we're going to learn something. We know we're going to get challenged, and I want to say something to you, Tony, really, that I appreciate. You know, we've been on staff for a number of years in church and church world and served, but you have been counseling now. How long have you been a counselor?
I started in the field in 99, essentially. So and I love it. And like so many of us who are in that field, I can look back and see that even when I was a youth pastor and I was in other roles, it's like I was still a counselor. And then I went back and did the education, jumped through the hoops to be able to do that professionally. And it's been great. I really know that I am one of those fortunate people that gets to do what I'm called to do every day as a counselor.
That's pretty cool. Now, you left church world. I mean, you're still a part of the church, yeah. But full time to start your own practice.
Yes.
How long has that been?
That's been 8-9 years. You put me on the spot there a little bit, but eight or nine years since I left being on staff in a church. I was a care pastor at a church. And started that practice about 8 or 9 years ago. Now we have, and this was the dream that I felt like God put out there for me is to take who I was and to try to build into and develop and duplicate that. And so now we have a total of 10 people on our team. So really have seen some growth. You know, the dream for me is that someday when Tony is dead and gone, it's like maybe Freedom Counseling can still exist and be helping people even after I'm no longer walking around on this planet. And so that's the hope. That's the dream.
That's very cool. So listeners, Freedom Counseling, you have some needs or some stuff that you're rattling in your head and questions. Tony Gore and his team, awesome people. But anyway, the comment came while I was talking with a couple, and they just made a comment. They said, we went in to go see Tony, and Tony, the first thing he did was he prayed with us. And we thought, wow, that is so cool. And I go, I know, that is so awesome. Mm. And I just want to compliment you on that, brother.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't know how to do it any other way, Kurt. you know, that's been a real journey for me. And you know, I really would say that even in my own journey, we could spend a whole radio show on that. But it's like, you know, becoming, moving from what I would call a pastor or a believer who prays to really being a person who is a praying pastor or praying counselor. And I believe in it, and I believe that that's the best thing that I can do for people. I might have some good thoughts or good advice, and that's worth what it's worth. But it's like, you know, if I can get you tapped in and connected to the source, it's like, that's much better. Yeah, he's got a lot more answers than I do.
I love that, because I think there's a lot of times our last resort is, have you prayed yet? Oh, it hadn't gotten that bad yet, you know? Maybe we ought to start with prayer. So anyway, thank you for doing that, and thanks for that, incorporating that in your practice. So, Tony, one of the things that you address a lot in your counseling world is folks who struggle with identity. Mm-hmm. Talk about that just for a minute.
I was thinking about that. You know, one framework that I don't even know who to attribute this to, but it's like going all the way back. It's like, you know, when we struggle, it's like, you know, for those of us who have that view that, you know, Satan is a liar and he's a deceiver and he's trying to kind of undermine God's plan and God's kingdom, you know, he's going to lie about one of three things, right? He's going to lie about God, he's going to lie about you, or he's going to lie about other people. And when we kind of get that trifecta there, you know, when you start thinking about your day and your life and your challenges, it's going to fall in one of those categories. It's like, there's something I'm not believing about God. There's something I'm not believing about other people. It's like, oh, all these people hate me. You know, I walk into a room or all these people think I'm less than. And then the one that I think we're going to focus a little more on today is like, you know, that sense of, man, what do I really believe about myself? You know, and how am I seeing myself, and what are the struggles that I have that I feel like many of us, you know, feel, man, we've had these struggles as long as we can remember. You know, there's that that notion of besetting sin, or, you know, it's like the things we continue to struggle with. And I think most of us can relate to that. There's some things that have been around for us since childhood, and they just continue to kind of plague us. And so that's the one that I think we're going to focus in on a little bit today, like those questions that we have about ourselves.
Our identity is so, and we're constantly talking to ourselves.
Yeah.
This, who are we? And, you know, Chad, you were saying, you know, this morning, mm-hmm. you were telling our listeners just real quickly what you were doing, because you had some stuff rattling around your head.
I'd say 5 days out of a week, maybe not every day, but I have to, before I begin my day, I got to get my mind right and set it on the right path. Proverbs talks about paths, paths of the righteous, paths of the wicked, paths of wisdom. And I'm like, okay, let's step on the path of what's the reality about who I am. And there's a little, you know, page in the
Steps
to Freedom, where it basically says who I am in Christ. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I am justified. I'm united with the Lord. I'm one spirit with him. Now, those are the, I'm rattling them off my head, but I read those out loud every day because I have to be reminded that's who I am now in Jesus, not who I was outside of him. And so much of, you hear people say, Jesus may be in your heart, but your grandpa's in your bones. Okay. Well, that stuff carries around with you, and you go, wait a minute, am I identifying with my dad on earth, and my grandpa, and my mom, more than I'm identifying with my father in heaven?
Yeah.
And I've got to get that right. And I'm 50 years old, and I'll never not need that, to constantly tell myself I am this. So that's something I do pretty regularly.
Yeah, it's good stuff. By the way, listeners, I've been using that tool that Chad's talking about for almost 30 years,
and
I just need it. I'm broken. Tony, we talked earlier, you know, we're a mess. Like, mm-hmm. we say we're a mess, but I mean, like, we are. We are truly a mess.
It's right there in Scripture, yeah. There's nothing good in us, right?
But God says, no, but yeah, you're a mess. but I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm right alongside you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any comments on that?
Yeah. Just the reality of it. Again, thank you, Neil Anderson, you know, for giving us some of those tools so many years ago. And it's like they're still pertinent today. We've got to kind of tap into that and really be able to say, okay, yeah, of course, I am a sinner saved by grace. Of course, I'm a mess, but thanks be to God, right? Whatever it is, 2 Corinthians, right? That is what some of you were, right? But because of Christ, we can have this hope that it's not who we have to be. We don't have to live in those lies. We don't have to live in that death sentence every day. And that's what it is. You know, in our flesh, apart from Christ, that's all we've got. And so we want to be able to tap into something deeper and more meaningful than that, for sure.
So we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about 7 primal questions. That's the name of a book that Tony is going to reference here. And so there's 7 questions that he says that people, the author says, we ask ourselves. And I'm wondering if you heard these 7, you may go, I don't even think I knew I was asking myself that question, but I've been asking it for maybe my whole life. Come back and hear what those 7 were. We're going to break those down in the next few segments here on Solid Steps Radio. Ellinan Credit Union has been around the Louisville, Kentuckiana area for decades. They can help you with every financial need that you have, whether it's personal, commercial, you need a home loan, car loan. Ellinan Credit Union can take care of you and all of your financial needs. Bright Star Home Care. If you have someone that you love and care for that needs in-home care, whether they need one visit a week or they need 24/7 care, Bright Star Home Care is your very first contact to start that process and find out what's best for you and your loved one. We also want to thank podlou.com. That's Louisville Podcast Studios. If you want to do a professional sounding podcast or video cast, you want to look and sound great, Louisville Podcast Studios is your contact. Go to podlou.com. That's podlou.com. So in our first segment, we were talking about some questions, and we left off with some questions that you may be asking in your life that you may have been asking yourself every day without even knowing it for most of your adult life. And so we're going to start unpacking some of these primal questions, the questions that are at the core of almost anybody who's conscious and awake.
So Tony, you have been introduced. In fact, you've been using these 7 questions in your practice.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
So many tools out there, and there's a lot of good ones. I'm a fan of so many of those different assessments, and we've taken them together at leadership retreats, Kurt, over the years and that sort of thing. And there's always something new in business or the church world or whatever. This happens to be one of the more recent ones that's come around. It's called the 7 Primal Questions. Author Mike Foster, and he is a guy out of San Diego, and he just has gotten this framework where he says, hey, you know, we can really boil down to some key questions that are very childlike questions. Chad, I think you made that comment earlier. It's like these seem like childlike questions, and they are. These are questions that any child growing up would ask themselves. You know, it's like just basic. When I took my psychology class in college, it's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, it's like this basic thing. It's like until you get those things solid, it's hard to move beyond that, right? Hard to think about relationships or life or fun beyond just getting these basic needs met. And these are very basic questions. So can I just introduce these questions to you
absolutely.
Guys?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So he says there's 7 basic questions. I'm going to give you a real high-level sort of notion about each one. First question 1 is, am I safe? And you can imagine how this impacts people. Folks who grow up with, abuse issues or uncertainty in their home or, you know, parents or caregivers who are not really present or really, you know, giving them attention. That question of, hey, am I safe? Am I okay? You know, just to kind of move about and do life. And And so constantly moving into different places and contexts where it's like, you know, is this a safe environment for me? Are these safe people in my life? And then you think about people getting into marriage or getting into workplaces, and it's like, man, that person, you know, seems like they're always on edge. Well, they are, right? They're asking that question constantly.
No, they're asking that question, Tony, but they're not asking it out loud per se, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's this question that's going on in your head. And you alluded to that earlier, Kurt, you know, that thought of we're constantly asking that question, but I think I even mentioned to you once before, I had a college professor who said, you know, the problem is that we're listening to ourselves too much and we're not speaking over ourselves enough. You know, and we love that from a biblical context, right? We need to be speaking these truths, just like, you know, you mentioned that, Chad. We need to be speaking these truths over ourselves and not just kind of getting lost in the questions. But that's question one, am I safe? Second one is, am I secure? And when my wife took this, she ended up on am I safe. She was like, I'm surprised it wasn't am I secure. This is talking more about financial security. These are kids who grew up in poverty. These are kids who are like, man, there was always this poverty mindset. And so these are folks who, like, they know. If you ask them right now, how much money you have in the bank? It's like, they know. They checked their account this morning, right, to make sure nothing bad was happening there. That money they thought was there was there. They look to money for security. And a lot of times, especially in the church world, we kind of criticize that. Well, when you grew up with nothing, you know, all of a sudden you're prone to kind of say, man, I'm not going to put myself in that situation. I'm not going to put my family in that situation. I'm going to make sure that I'm a saver, that I've got this money put aside, that I'm earning enough to kind of take care of our basic needs. And so it's not even, you know, money in and of itself is not the evil, right? It's the love of money that's the problem. And so that second question, am I secure? The third question, am I loved? And that one gets to kind of that sense of not just, you know, are people there in my life and giving me some degree of security, but, you know, do they really care about me? And so this is the person who is probably hypersensitive to criticism. This is the person who's just like, hey, you know, I'm not sure, you know, Kurt hangs around with me, but I'm not sure Kurt really likes me. You know, does Kurt really like me, or does Chad think well of me? And they're constantly just, you know, really hyper-focused on. And so you can imagine, we'll get more to this in a moment, when it's maladaptive, when it's not getting answered correctly, then all of a sudden they're moving to people-pleasing. They're moving to try and make sure everybody around them thinks highly and thinks well of them. And so people kind of become their God, if you want to think of it that way, right? Mm. Question four, am I wanted? This one is, as you can imagine, really key. I've got clients right now that I'm working with, and he and his wife have this same question. So can you imagine how challenging that is in their relationship, right? They're both wandering around going, am I wanted? You know, does he really want me? You know, I know he's married to me. I know he chose me, but it's like, does he really want me? And he's going, hey, does she want me? You know, does she really, I mean, I know she appreciates that I work hard and bring a paycheck, but it's like, does she really want me in her life? And so they're both kind of having this unanswered question. And so they're coming for marital counseling saying, hey, man, we're struggling here. And I'm like, yeah, you're both asking this question and you're not answering it for each other.
Wow.
In a key healthy relationship, that is a key, right? We're going to say, hey, if I'm going to love my wife well, I have to know what their question is. And I've got to be trying with God's help to answer that question affirmatively as much as possible. You're not going to do it 100%. God won't let you meet all that need for them. He just won't let you, right?
Because that's his job.
That's his job, right? That becomes idolatry in marriage, which is a problem, okay? But we want to kind of get in step with the Spirit and say, man, if that's my wife's question, God, sign me up. I want her to feel wanted by me. I want my husband to feel wanted by me. You know, if he's saying, hey, I need a little more connection from you. I need a little more intimacy from you. It's like, man, I want to be the one to step up and say, yeah, babe, I want you, right? If she's saying, hey, I need time with you. I need you to like, you know, step away from the chores, step away from your work, and like go for a walk with me. And he's like, yeah, that's going to be me, right? That's going to be me that's walking with you, not somebody else, because I want you to feel wanted by me.
You know, I can't imagine, Tony, a couple coming into your office and both of them are asking the question, am I wanted? And the wife is asking that, the husband's asking that, but they don't even know they're asking it, and they don't even know that they're asking it of each other.
Yeah.
And like, wow.
Yeah. So there's real incremental power in, number one, understanding what your question is, understanding what your spouse's question is, and then saying, hey, a key, real simple tenet of marriage counseling, of marriage therapy, is I'm going to get real devoted to try to figure out how to give my wife this answer of yes. Yes, you're wanted. Yes, you're safe. Yes, you're secure. It's helped me already with my relationship with Rhonda. It's like her question is, am I safe? It's like I'm going home thinking, what is she feeling unsafe about today? I want to mitigate that. I want to pay attention to that. I want to ask her question about it. I want to make sure that that's moving in the right direction.
Okay? That's cool.
Let's keep moving here real quick. Number five, question number five, am I successful? Okay, these are achievers. These are folks who are like, I'm going to build things, and I'm going to build lots of things, and they're going to be very successful, and might make a lot of money alongside. That's not really the point, though. The point is, I'm going to build successes in my life that prove something to others and to me. And these are folks, oftentimes, that have grown up in competitive families, right? So sibling rivalry. You go to the baseball game, and you have a great baseball game, and your dad's like, oh, way to go, son. Awesome. That's fantastic. You know, like you killed it out there today. And then all of a sudden you go and you strike out three times and you muff something on, you know, you don't pick it up cleanly at shortstop and make the throw to first. And then all of a sudden you ride home and your dad's real quiet, right? He doesn't say anything negative even, but it's like the message is, I got it. When I'm successful, I'm loved.
You failed.
When I fail, it's rejection. Okay. And so these are folks who are like, guess what? I won't fail. I'll build things, and I'll build them well, and I'll have lots of successes. Question six, am I good enough? Am I good enough is kind of that question that just says, hey, you know what? You know, do I really measure up? It's a comparative sort of question. I'm looking around the room and I'm seeing all these talented, gifted people in my workplace or at my church. It happens all the time at church, right? It's like, I love kind of spoiling that for people. It's like, hey, so many of those people look great. They're a mess. You know, I've built my whole ministry on ministering to these people who look beautiful sometimes. They're a mess. You know, I have had to go home and apologize to my wife. I'm like, I have criticized our family according to their Christmas card, right? It's like their Christmas card looks great, and they're a mess. And I'm so sorry, honey. You know, I was like, why don't we do a Christmas card? We should do a Christmas. We should look that great. No, it's overrated, right?
That's, I mean, and you know, Chad and Jenna sent out these incredible Halloween, you know, they were all dressed up as Elvis this last October. Oh, and I'm
overrated.
Like,
I'm just going to say it. It's overrated.
Kurt, I drive by their house. Jenna's sitting out front with the kids on the blanket. Oh. And we're like, oh, look at that. She's so good with the kids. It's like,
sit down and be quiet.
We all do it, right? Yeah. We all kind of look at these things and we have these images that we put on them. And that's the big challenge.
Am I good enough? You know what? Hold on, Tony, because we're going to hit question number seven next segment.
We're going to take a break. Be back shortly on Solid Steps Radio. Iroquois Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Dr. Eric Veal has been a sponsor of our show since the beginning. If you need your teeth cleaned, overall dental health, Dr. Eric Veal can take care of you. He's got two locations in the Louisville area, one in Iroquois Park area, and then the other in Eastern Jefferson County. That's Iroquois Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. And Frank Enterprises, they are a professional septic tank landscaping and wastewater management company. If you have water outside your house that's not going where it's supposed to go, or you have septic tank issues or any landscaping needs, Frank Enterprises can take care of you. Their years of experience will come through and you will be thankful you called them. So in our last segment, we went through six of the seven questions, and now we're going to get to the seventh, and then we're going to unpack them over the next segment and a half or so. So, Tony, what was the seventh question we did not get to?
Yeah, question number seven is, do I have a purpose? And this one is easy for me because I've spent some time on this. This is my question. Do I have a purpose? And so this is one, he makes a reference in here, a lot of faith-based families, children who grew up with this, it's like, hey, you know, you have God has a will for you. God has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 has always been significant for me. You know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And that always resonates for me. And I love the day that I learned. It's like, yeah, Jeremiah said that to them as they're walking out with Israel burning behind them, right? It's like into captivity. And it's like, whoa, that changes things, right? It's like, you know, it deepens. And so, in our culture in America, I think we think about purpose as, man, how do I be successful? How do I build something? And it's like, man, it can be, you know, more basic than that. I mean, this is, you know, being a friend, being the man that God's called me to be, being a husband, being a father. It's great if we have some success to hang our hat on, but it's like, you know, God has to define that purpose and kind of instill that in us. And when we're chasing that, again, like any of these other things, that can become kind of a god to us. That becomes idolatrous.
So, right. So Tony, if this is your primary question, do I have purpose? Do I have a purpose? What happens when you are asking that question, and how do you answer that?
Yeah. So, again, Mike Foster, and probably good to give him some credit here, primalquestion.com, if you want to go back and take this assessment for yourself, free assessment, go check that out. He's done great work in this field. But for me, when I did that, probably a few things jumped out. One is he says we're all asking these questions, right? Very natural. Anything that kind of had this imprint in our childhood that didn't feel solid or secure, we continue to ask this question into adulthood. And he says, when we get a yes for that question, you know, man, that's, life's great. It's like we're riding the wave, right? When we get a no answer to that question, he says that sends us in our scramble. And I love that language, right? All of a sudden now we're scrambling. It's like, man, I can't. I've been in situations, even in the church, Kurt, where it's like I'm losing favor, I'm losing blessing, and I'm like, this is not a good fit. The things that I'm called to do, I'm not getting blessing to do them here in this setting.
So what does Tony Gore do when he asks that inner question, do I have a purpose? And the answer is, oh, maybe, maybe not. It's not a strong yes. What does Tony Gore do to scramble?
It's getting very vulnerable now. there's this medicine that I have. It's called Lay's potato chips. And so for me, you know, part of the scramble is, and for all of us, right? There's something addictive or there's something compulsive or there's something that we're moving to. And so it's like, I'm telling you, and that's, I joke about it, but it's really true. It's like, okay, things aren't going well, then I'm going to feed this problem, right? And it distracts me from being, you know, from really pursuing the source of the answer in God, and I'll settle for half a bag of chips, right? And I'm not talking about the small single size bag. I'm talking about the family size bag, you know.
You eat
half of that bag of chips, and all of a sudden I slip into a little bit of a carb coma, and I guess what? I forget about my question for a little while. Why do we do these addictive things? We do these addictive things. This may not be real popular with some people, but we do them because they work, right? And they work on the short term. And then all of a sudden I'm like, well, crud, you know, it slipped into that carb coma last night, but you know, after enough nights of that, it's like, now my clothes don't fit. I'm looking in the mirror and I'm going, I don't like the way I look. And it's just getting worse. It's compounding, right? Works on the short term. Very rarely does it work on the long term, right? I'm looking to something else besides God to kind of answer this question for me. And that's the scramble. And for a lot of people, those are maladaptive things. Those are drugs. Those are alcohol. Those are food addictions. Those are workaholism. Lots of things, okay? And then for some of us, we build things that are a little more respectable, right? We work really hard. We make a lot of money. We have a lot of trappings of success. And maybe we manage that, and we do it in the church too, right?
In the church?
I know that's shocking to no. so many of our listeners out there. but we do it on across all these boards, and we use these things, even the church, right? I remember, you know, I used to be a care pastor at a church, and people would come to the support recovery ministry, and I'd say, oh, man, it's so good to see you. I come here on Thursday. I go to a Bible study on Tuesday. I serve on Sunday night, and I'm at church on Sunday morning. I was like, I think somebody's found a new drug, right? It's like, you might want to pump the brakes even on, like, doing great stuff at church, right? It's a great place for us to hide, and very few people. In fact, in the church, oftentimes, we're like, hey, we love them. Right? We want them to come back and do more and serve more and accomplish more. And so sometimes we have to kind of see, all right, even in good things, right? Tim Keller talks about this in Counterfeit Gods. He says, we make gods out of good things, right? I'm going to make sure my kids have everything they need to be successful in their sports world, right? And we're like, yeah, I've got to take them, you know, to batting practice on Tuesday and, you know, to baseball on Thursday and basketball practice on Saturday. And it's like, they're going to be successful, right? What's that about?
Mm.
You're trying to answer some sort of question there. There's some sort of primal question that you're trying to answer there by making sure that your kids, not about your kids. You want your kids to be successful because of something in you.
Ooh. So, okay. So, Chad, you asked a question.
Don't be looking at me. Don't ask me any questions. Don't be asking me one of these seven questions. I'm just here to get this show moving along and get it.
Chad, in the break, you asked Tony a really good question.
Well, you alluded to, and we'll hear more about this, but is there just one question that drives somebody more than anything, or is there, at any given point, we're probably asking all these questions to ourselves?
Yeah, absolutely. These are human questions, right? And at some level, all these questions will resonate with us. But the reality is there's probably one question that's great. You know, it's why it's good to go on and actually do that assessment and to say, okay, what is that primary one? You know, for me, I'm a little bit of a skeptic. And so I took it once, and then probably 2 weeks later, I took it again. And I was like, am I going to get the same results here? And I did. And there's a little bit of, you know, margin of error built in there. There are some people that could be right on the fence and shift from one to the other. Kind of like other assessments, they talk about, you know, there's this and then there's another complementary sort of thing. But there's a primary one that's probably driving things for you.
So let's have some fun with this. We know your wife, Rhonda. Would she be okay if we talk about Rhonda and her question is, am I safe? Is it I am safe or I am secure?
Am I safe?
Am I safe?
She thought hers might be, am I secure? But once, you know, it's like, when she told me that, I was like, I'm pretty sure that's accurate, hon. You know, that you're working on that one, am I safe?
So when she asks that question, am I safe, and sometimes the answer might be, I don't know, or there's a hesitation, or maybe it's no, today I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
How does she scramble?
Yeah.
Or how does a person who is asking that as their primal question, am I safe? How do they scramble?
Yeah. So you think about it. Okay. If your question is, am I safe? Then guess what you're going to be very interested in doing? You're going to be very interested in trying to control your environments, right? And so a lot of the folks who struggle with am I safe are like, I'm going to be measured. I'm going to be in control. I'm not going to put myself, right? Mike Foster, the author, talks about this is his question, and he says, don't throw me any surprise birthday parties, right? Hate it. It's like, it's unsafe. I don't know what's happening. I don't know who's coming. It's like, you know, if you're going to throw me a party, I want to know what the guest list looks like. I want to know who the people are that are there. It's like, I want to be able to kind of say, hey, let's not invite them, right? Doesn't feel like a safe person. And so these people are folks that tend to move toward control, or they move toward what would be the other option. If you can't control something, then you withdraw.
Self-protect.
Okay? Yeah. And Rhonda, you know, is an introvert, and Rhonda would tell you that there are times where it's like, you know, if I get overloaded, if there's too much, it's like, I'm just going to pull back. I'm going to pull back. I'm going to shut down.
Talk about I am secure. That person who says they're in their inner world, am I secure? And the answer is not in the positive.
Yeah.
Or hesitant.
Yeah. Again, a lot of this has more to do with financial security and kind of that I want to be able to provide for myself. And so these are the folks who are working very hard. I think I heard in one of the podcasts that he referenced Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you know, big, strong guy, right? And it's like name of his production company is $7, you know, production. And he's like, got to the place where I had $7 in my account. And it's like, it's never going to be that way again. And I'm going to build my life around trying to make sure that that never happens. And that's not my story and not my legacy. And so for these people, and probably good for us to even get to, I know we're headed to a break, but it's like beginning to kind of see, okay, yeah, there's ways that we try and answer this. There's also a way that God wants to kind of interact with us around these questions. He knows us, and he's willing to meet us where we are.
So we're going to take a break, come back in the fourth final segment, talk a little bit about not just the questions, but maybe the answers. So we'll take a break back shortly on Solid Steps Radio. Hadley Sign Solutions. Owner Chris Hadley has 35 years experience in design, manufacturing, and the installation of commercial exterior electrical signage. And he can help promote your business in Kentucky and Southern Indiana. Call him at 502-419-7228. That's 419-7228. Or you can email him at hadleysignsolutions@gmail.com. That's Hadley Sign Solutions. Dan Hart Financial. If you want to retire or want to talk about retirement, whether you're a year away or 20 years away, Dan Hart can sit down, come up with your plan that you need to have, or talk about your plan that you have in place and see if it's a good fit. Dan Hart Financial. All right, fourth and final segment, and we're going to go through the 7 questions. If you didn't hear them all, we're going to repeat them all for you if you didn't. But if you want to listen to the rest of the show, go to SoundCloud or iTunes. Just type in Solid Steps Radio. You can hear all of our shows. Thanks to our great sponsors, Commercial Free.
So, Tony, these 7 questions. The first one, I am safe. And God has an answer for all of these. But then also, it's you flip it, you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Describe that.
Yeah. So, we're asking these questions, right? Am I safe? And we're kind of, if these are unanswered in childhood, we're kind of living out our adulthood in that. And so one of the things that's a principle here is switching that from a question to a statement. And I love that as believers, as Christians, we can really kind of resonate with that. It's like it moves from, am I safe, to, hey, you know what? I am safe. You know, God says that he is a fortress. God says that he's, you know, a safe place in the storm. And so he kind of implies here, it's like, God wants to relate to us in around these questions, around these key questions that we're struggling with and asking for the rest of our lives. And so it's really key. And I love this. I just think it fits so well with our Christian perspective to go, yeah, I want to look to God to kind of give me this answer to this question.
He is my help. So I am secure. Or am I secure? You flip it. I am secure.
Mm-hmm.
And what does God say?
Yeah. Yeah. So again, this is more financial security, right? So God says, hey, guess what? I'm your provider.
Seek first his kingdom and I'll take care of all your all your needs.
Yeah. You can look to me. It's like you don't have to worry. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? It's like, how much money are you going to try and gather up that's going to compete with that? Right? And so God wants to answer that question affirmatively. Yeah, I've got you. I've got you covered. You're not gonna go without as long as you're looking to me.
So next one is, am I loved?
Mm-hmm. So it's, I am loved. I am loved. And then we see, right? We can go back to, you know, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's like, you know, the old question is like, how much is somebody worth? They're worth whatever is paid for them, right? What's something worth? It's worth as much. I've put things on Facebook Marketplace. It's like, you know, it does not sell, right? It's overpriced. No, it means that much to me. It doesn't mean that much to them, right? I can figure out how much it's worth by lowering that price. You know, God does the opposite. He says, man, I've paid dearly, you know, to kind of bring you into my family, to give you hope that you couldn't get on your own.
You've been bought with a price.
Yeah. You are loved. Live out of that. And another good principle that will, you know, is living from these truths, not for these truths. If I'm out there trying to chase love, right? I've had countless folks who have been in multiple marriages, multiple relationships, and dysfunction after dysfunction. And it's like, it's because you're trying to get love rather than living from love, right? When you have this and you have it to offer and you have it to give, that changes. It's a game changer. I am loved.
There's got to be a paradigm shift in their heart and mind.
Yeah.
Next one is, am I wanted?
Yeah, I am wanted. I am wanted. I am chosen. Okay? And if, you know, if God has chosen me, then it's like, if I'm not experiencing that in my marriage relationship right now, or if I'm not experiencing that at work, if I'm not experiencing that in my friend group, then I can rest and go, man, yeah, not everybody is going to want me. And you know what? That's okay. You know, that sounds a little bit like pop psychology. It's like, and that's all right, you know. but the reality is, it's like, I don't have to live for the approval of every single person. How exhausting is that? To try to get everybody's favor and everybody's love.
This people pleasing,
yeah,
addiction. And like, no, God says, no, I want you.
Yeah.
I long to be with you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rich. Okay, next one is, am I successful?
Okay. I am successful, right? I am successful. Again, what is our success built on as Christians? Our success as Christians is built on the fact that we are trying to be in step with the Spirit, right? If we are listening to God, if we're trying to walk in obedience to what he's doing, and again, his revealed word, and then that ongoing prayer life and experience, it's like, you know, being in step with that is success, right? And so God says, hey, you are successful. If you're listening to me, if you're inviting me in, I use that language all the time in my counseling office. How about we invite God into this, right? I love, you know, that image where, you know, even in Job, right, where it's like Job's friends were great when they were sitting in the ashes with him just grieving, right? They got in trouble when they started opening their mouth and telling him all the solutions, right? And that's a good one for us as men. It's like with our wives, we're pretty good when we're sitting with them. In the pain and in the challenges and the difficulties, we get ourselves in trouble when we start saying, well, you know, honey, if you do this, it's like mansplaining, right? They love mansplaining. I know that's true in my home. I don't know about for you guys, but right. So God says, hey, you're successful when you are in step with my Spirit.
And you have, if you're a child of God, you have the person of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. And even though you are, we've all made poor choices. We've all made bad decisions, but Christ in you, the hope of glory, you have something in you that you are successful.
Yeah.
Because it's Christ in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay, the next one is, am I good enough?
Okay, and I am good enough. This one's a little challenging from a spiritual paradigm, right? Because it's like, you know, we hear these verses, it's like, there's nothing good in me, right? Above all things, the flesh is sinful or wicked, and it's like, wow, how does this one fit? Well, it's not our goodness, right? It is the goodness of God. It's the goodness of Christ. And so like Paul, like Jesus, I love that Jesus said this. The guy comes to him and says, hey, good teacher, you know, and he's like, hold on, time out. In my human form, like, why are you calling me good? Right? I'm not good. I'm a human. I'm a human just like you. And so only God is good. The only good in me, as Jesus Christ, is God in me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if that's the Son of God in human form, I think we better figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no way I can be good enough. But thanks be to God. You know, he looks at us and he says, your sins were as crimson and now they're white as snow. Right? You're good enough. I accept you. I love you. He's the father of the prodigal, right? You want to go to the far country? You can go. You're free to go. I'm going to continue to see you as my son, right? I'm going to wait for you to kind of step back into that identity.
That's good.
You can do whatever you want. You can act out however you want. It's like, I'm going to see you for who you are, and I'm going to hope that you come back to that. And so God is there speaking that over us. You are good enough, not because of what you've done, but because of who I have said you are.
There's this old theological perspective, the imputed righteousness of Christ. Mm-hmm. And when God looks at us, he sees not us.
Yeah.
He sees the perfection.
Yeah.
And the beauty of Christ.
I love that, Kurt, because I've come theologically to this place myself where I go, he can't see us otherwise, right? He will compromise the blood of Christ. He won't. He won't. If Jesus died and covered all of our sins once for all time, then he sees us pure.
That's so sweet. Okay, last question. It says, do I have purpose?
Yeah, do I have a purpose? And so I do have a purpose. And I want to be in step. I want to do what God has called me to do. And that's not building bigger barns. That's not building bigger businesses. That's not accomplishing greater things. Those things may be part of it, and they may be expressions of it. But again, we want to live from purpose, not for purpose. If I'm constantly chasing that, hey, do people think I'm valuable? Do people think I'm accomplishing something? Again, exhausting, right? There's no end to that. And you might make people happy for a little while, but they're going to want more, okay? Even Jesus experienced that. And so we want to live from purpose, not for it.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Well, time's up, Tony. Thank you so much. Chad, we got a free counseling session in. I feel better. Don't you feel better?
Sure. Is that one of the questions? Do you feel better?
Tony, thank you so much for coming in. Would you pray us out and pray for us guys, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Father, thanks that you invite us to be a part of your kingdom. Thank you that, that you have the wisdom to see these questions that we are asking. And Father, we just can't help ourselves in our humanity. It's like we struggle, we have insecurity, we have fear. And so, Father, as I said, it's like, I want to practice what I preach. God, I want to invite you in. I want you to kind of remind me, no, I'm not trying to find purpose. I am going to live from it. I don't want to go around wandering around asking, am I safe? I want to know I am safe because I can rest in you. And so, Father, help us to trust that that's true. Help us to believe that. You are accomplishing something in our life that we can't accomplish for ourselves. And we thank you for your willingness to meet us where we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm.
So you heard the seven questions, and there's the seven statements that we can flip them around, and all of those things are true because we go to the way, the truth, and the life, and his name is Jesus. Thank you for listening, and pass this along to somebody else that may want to hear. Thank you for listening to Solid Step 3. With every step I take,